President Biden, as we all know, took office January 2020. He promised to be the strongest labor president this country has ever seen. We see that commitment continuing as we pass the halfway mark in terms of his presidential term. Most recently, in his State of the Union address on March 1st, we saw him reference specific employment reforms that he urged Congress to pass. I suspect that many of us know about the acts that are mentioned on this slide, and we'll go into some of them in more detail during the course of our discussion this morning. But he urged Congress to pass the PRO Act, Protecting the Right to Organize Act, which you'll hear about from some of our colleagues later in the presentations during the course of this conference. Also, he urged Congress to pass the Paycheck Fairness Act, raise the minimum wage to $15 an hour, pass the Equality Act, pass some paid family and medical leave legislation at the federal level. So very consistent in terms of his commitment to these particular priorities which have been in place throughout his presidency. And I would be remiss if we didn't spend just a moment talking about what we have seen in the form of a shift to increasing state and local legislation that we're seeing. You know, traditionally these have happened on a federal level, but the states are really closing the gap, and cities in particular, on a number of issues. CB mentioned a few of them in terms of pay equity, wage, scheduling, which is actually employers would be paying penalties to employees if they canceled scheduled shifts or altered the number of hours that were scheduled to those particular folks. We see obviously harassment and differing standards in that realm at the state level, preemption. So a number of different places where states and cities are stepping up as well in the space where we practice. In terms of the 117th Congress, currently the composition of the House is 221 Democrats, 209 Republicans, 5 vacancies, and the Senate continues to operate under the slimmest of margins, 50 Republicans, 48 Democrats, 2 independents, which caucus with the Democrats, and then Vice President Kamala Harris serves as the tie-breaking vote. One law that was recently passed that we should all know about is the Ending Forced Arbitration of Sexual Assault and Sexual Harassment Act. It was signed into law on March 3rd of this year by President Biden. This new law amends the Federal Arbitration Act, and it bars pre-dispute arbitration agreements of claims of sexual assault and sexual harassment. And so important to analyze that and is that under that new law, of course, a plaintiff would decide whether or not to arbitrate. There may be a desire for confidentiality given the personal nature of the issues. But the way that the law defines sexual harassment, you look to federal law and you also look to state law. And so it could be that state law or local laws are a lot more generous in terms of, you know, defining sexual harassment and severe and pervasive standards. So it would encompass all of those types of claims under the umbrella of sexual harassment. The new law also requires that courts, not arbitrators, decide whether a claim does in fact constitute sexual harassment or sexual assault, regardless of what the arbitration agreement outlines in terms of that function being decided by an arbitrator. And then also the effective date of March 3rd, it indicates that, you know, if you're dealing with conduct after March 3rd, then that arbitration provision would not apply. So this was viewed as a victory for the Me Too movement, and it's certainly a law that everyone should know about in terms of our practice. Now, it doesn't, and it mentions on the slide, it doesn't address waivers of jury trial, which are enforceable in Texas, so that's something to think about, regardless of which side of the docket in which you're practicing. Other priorities before the 117th Congress and in furtherance of what President Biden most recently charged Congress with in his State of the Union address is, and some of these, again, are not new to us, the Raise the Wage Act, which was introduced January of last year. In that act, and President Biden urged Congress to increase the minimum wage to $15 an hour so that, quote, no one has to raise a family in poverty. The minimum wage at the federal level has remained at $7.25 since 2009. And again, we see many states and cities that have raised their respective minimum wages. California, for example, is already at $15 an hour for employers that have 26 or more employees. So we just see at the federal level a push for that. Last year's Raise the Wage Act, it did not pass the House. There does not seem to be a clear path in the short term for approval of that bill, but stay tuned and see what happens. Also is the Paycheck Fairness Act, another act that President Biden expressly urged Congress to pass. So the purpose of that act, and it's been around over a number of years, but it's aimed at closing some of the loopholes that exist in the Equal Pay Act, which has been around since 1963. The FLSA already has some equal pay provisions that make it unlawful for an employer to pay men and women doing equal work under similar situations.